This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Suzette Boulay with Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Jared Bartman. He's presenting a concert on Thursday, October 31st at the Apollo Theater with John Vanderslice. He's also releasing his new album, Misery Makes Strange Bedfellows. Welcome back to the show, Jared.
Thank you for having me. Good to be back.
Now, one of the things that I noticed just as I was listening to a few of the tracks from this new album is that in quite a few of them, you've got a lot of layering going on. So you've got, you know, a percussion and your lead vocals and a lot of harmonics. So I'm wondering how much of that is done in one take in a studio and how much of that is you get the percussionist once and then you come back, say, a week later and put a piano part over it and then you do the vocals mm-hmm. and background vocals come in even later.
Yeah, it's all done overdubbing, so it's all done essentially piecemeal. So the first sessions will be me and a percussionist, or maybe in this case it was three different percussionists and the producer. And so we would get at the desired tempo and basically a bare bones version of the song with drum set. And then I would come back and overdub guitars and keyboards and my vocals, and then we did another session for the vocalists and string quartet and then other ancillary instruments. So yeah, so it was all done piecemeal, essentially, not all at the same time.
And so then once you've got all the pieces together, how long does it take to assemble them in the production mix and get the song to a point where you're happy with it sonically?
Well, for this record, I started recording in January of 2013, and we did the final mix downs in July. This was because we were working around everyone's work schedules and tour schedules and all sorts of different things like that. But probably all in all, the actual amount of studio time was a month. From top to bottom, a month was starting basic tracking and then to the final mixdowns.
I had a chance to hear four of the cuts from your new CD, and I'd like to ask you about one of them after I ask you, how did you come up with your title, Misery Makes Strange Bedfellows?
I was at a record store in Chicago, Reckless Records, with my friend Matt, and we were just kind of looking through the bargain vinyl bin, and I was going to buy this Nonesuch compilation of choral music. It was essentially like billed as depressing choral music from the Renaissance to the 20th century, and I thought that was really funny. And so I bought this record, and on the back there was an essay by, I think, the director of the choir who did this record. And the first line in his essay was, "Misery makes strange bedfellows," which is, it's a quote from Shakespeare. Actually, it's a paraphrased quote of Shakespeare from The Tempest.
Talk a little bit about Granada. That was, to me, an especially, and I want to use the word, pretty song.
Granada, during the time I was writing Granada, I was reading a lot of poetry by the Spanish writer Federico Garcia Lorca, and I drew on a number of, I guess, poetic themes that Lorca uses, talking about the moon, like personifying the moon, and just, you know, themes of talking about Spanish cities at midnight, or just kind of these very lush, romantic, you know, themes.
Since we're talking about it, why don't we take just a couple of seconds here and listen to a little bit of the song Granada, and this is from the new album. So tell me a little bit about the two musicians who are joining you for this upcoming concert, John Vanderslice and Samantha Crane. I take it they're a couple of singer-songwriters, kind of like you?
Yeah, they are. I would say that they're different in the style, the actual like styles of music that they do. They're different types of songwriters, but you know they fit on a bill well together because they write very memorable songs. Fantastic lyrics, and John is friend of mine. I've been a fan of John for a very long time, and I've always been hoping to be able to bring John to Peoria for a concert. And he's on tour at this time promoting his new record, Dagger Beach. And so it just seemed like the perfect time to bring John in for a concert. And Samantha is John's tour support for this tour. And John also produced Samantha's new record, Kid Face. So it'll be fantastic to have her here.
So the two of them are on tour, and you were able to sort of snag them in between gigs.
Yep, yeah, coming through Chicago and just, you know, said, hey, you know, you guys should come down for this show, and worked with their booking agent and made it happen. So I'm so excited to have them here.
And speaking about the tour, as soon as you play in Peoria, you're on the road.
Yeah, I'm out for 2 weeks with a full band, a drummer, bassist, and multi-instrumentalist, and we're essentially heading out from the Midwest through to the East Coast, to New York, and back up through Wisconsin and Minneapolis, and then back home. So this sort of large circle through the East Coast and Midwest.
And as an independent musician, someone who doesn't have a big label to support your work, is it important to be on the road a lot, particularly when you have a new album that you're trying to get in front of people?
I think so. I think it's first and foremost important to have a good record. So just ensuring that, you know, you're spending the time to make the best record you possibly can. And then once you have that, just to tour on it a lot. And I do find it important to have a publicity company working to help get the word out. I try to do a lot of my own press, but sometimes it's just best to have someone else really working to get it out there. So I think those three things, just having the music be there, of course, having a great live set, and just going out into the world and just playing it as much as possible.
Now, I think the last time we talked, you were also about to head out on a tour of the East Coast. I know you were headed to New York.
Yeah.
Are you getting to a point now after a few years where you have a few venues where you know you'll find a friendly crowd, or a few places where you know you've got enough fans to put a house together?
Sure. Yeah, that is coming together now, and it's, I think this is maybe the ninth tour I've done since 2010, and it's definitely difficult starting out, you know, touring outside of your region, trying to figure out the best venues and people, you know, who will play on the bill with you. But now, after a certain point, I think it's not easy, but I'm finding that it's much easier.
How does a musician such as you make money in your profession? And do you join the internet set where you're selling some of your music on iTunes?
That's a good question about making money. I don't know if I've totally figured that out yet, but you know, some avenues that I'm pursuing are, of course, iTunes and Bandcamp, which is a streaming service. You can sell your music through there, and also Spotify. That's another way of, you know, getting your music out, streaming it to people, and those are all good ways to do it. I've just started working with a licensing company to try to get music in film and TV and radio, and basically paying gigs that way. Touring, I think, eventually, you know, for a lot of artists, eventually becomes a way to make money. Record sales, not so much. Record, you know, in the past it was you're doing a tour to support the record, and the record sales are what's making you money, and that just isn't the world we live in anymore. So I think these different things, like especially licensing, are avenues that musicians are pursuing to hopefully make some money.
Why don't we take just a minute here and listen to another of the tracks off of the new record. This is one called You've Been Drinking Again. So that's a track called You've Been Drinking Again. It's off of your new album. And what I liked about this one was it has that odd sort of reggae beat to it. And so it has this very peppy sound, mm-hmm. but a very serious sort of somber topic. I assume that's a deliberate choice on your part, that juxtaposition.
Yeah. I thought that would be interesting to kind of clothe a serious, kind of alarming subject within this very peppy calypso or Afro-Cuban. I'm not exactly sure what the style would be called, but yeah, just this very tropical or Latin style.
I got the feel of the girl that's had a few too many margaritas near the beach. I definitely got that feel.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, and I just wanted to go with this... Or, you know, the instrumentation of string quartet and the three-part harmony. It's a Latin sound, but then I'm also really into 1960s, 1950s girl groups. So kind of having these female harmonies on a lot of the pieces to, just because I guess that was what I was into at the time of writing it.
And when you're on tour, how many of these musicians get to travel with you? Like, for example, do you get to bring all the backup vocalists, or do you have to strip the pieces down a little bit so that you can perform them with a smaller ensemble on the road?
For the most part, it will be a smaller ensemble. I really wish I could bring everyone, because especially the backing vocalists are really crucial to this set of songs. They, you know, the string quartet and the vocalists will be joining me on a number of shows in the Midwest, but the stuff out east will mostly be me and the drummer and multi-instrumentalist, guitarist, keyboardist, and a bass player. So it'll still be a very full sound, and, you know, I'm hoping this will be a tour that kind of sets, you know, breaks some ground for future tours where I can bring more musicians. That would be great to have that 10-person ensemble that I play with here, which I'll be doing at the show on the 31st. It'll be myself and 9 other players to really recreate that sound on the record.
We've been talking with Jared Bartman. He's debuting his new album, Misery Makes Strange Bedfellows, at a concert on Thursday, October 31st at the Apollo Theater. The concert also includes John Vanderslice and Samantha Crane. Jared, thanks for being with us again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Nathan is part of the citywide celebration of women artists and National Arts and Humanities Month. The Central Illinois Artists Organization is holding an opening reception this evening called Sparks. It's a visual art exhibit where all of the art in the gallery space is inspired by the special women in the artists' lives. The reception is from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight at the Prairie Center of the Arts, so plan to stop on by.
And finally, Suzette, the Peoria Symphony has 2 events this weekend. Their regular concert tomorrow night at the Peoria Civic Center features violinist Charles Yang. It includes music by Tchaikovsky and a concerto based on 3 songs from popular music. Then on Sunday, a musical discovery concert. It's aimed at introducing music to young children. It features the PSO's percussion section. That's Sunday afternoon at 2 at WTVP Public Television.
Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Stephanie Sobey. If you'd like to learn more about Peoria Public Radio, visit us on the web at peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio.